And here we are, back up and running, and we're wrapping up a discussion that Richard brought us concerning a tax on loans. Richard, I just offer this to you on that. I understand your point that people who appear to enjoy a wealthy lifestyle aren't necessarily wealthy. It's a lot of it's paper. And Donald Trump is probably is probably a good example of that. But the idea of taxing, putting an income tax on borrowed money, wouldn't apply because a loan isn't income. A loan is not income under the definition of income by any stretch. And so you couldn't stretch it to include that. But whenever you start punishing productivity by an income tax or by a productivity tax, then you're not going to encourage the growth of commerce and industry. If we're going to discourage anything, we should be discouraging consumption. But that's on the political side of it. The question is constitutionally, can they tax that property that somebody borrowed? And the fact is, no, they can't. They can't tax that, not without taxing it by apportionment and billing it to the states. I don't know what to tell you about your Mexican insurance problem there, Richard, but do I? Oh, okay. Well, Richard dropped off. Well, let's just move on. I don't know what to do about the Mexicans. I think that whenever they catch them without their insurance or with their insurance, that what they ought to do isn't get a tow truck. They need to get a bus and send them right back where they belong. When somebody steps on American soil illegally, they're saying, coming into the country, I don't respect your laws and I have no intention of obeying them. If somebody were to put that on an application for a visa to any country in the world, that I don't respect your laws and I have no intention of obeying them, I don't think that visa would be granted. I don't think they'd be welcome anywhere. We're the most liberal. We are the most open-bordered country in the world. We allow more immigration into this country than any other country in the world. And there's no excuse not to do it legally. And that's my view on that, or what it's worth. But let's move on. We've got in Texas, a state I was just talking about. Mitchell, how are you doing, Mitch?
Good, thanks. I appreciate you taking my call. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Excellent. I enjoy listening to you. Hey, I've got a question about political jurisdiction and political status, and it relates to the tax issue, but not directly, so you don't have to elaborate too much, but I'm just wondering your take on it. And I'm about to bring up, I'm not really putting forward as one of those sort of false, frivolous arguments about citizen or not citizen, but another show host I was listening to sort of pointed me to some of these provisions in especially Article 14 from the amendments to the Constitution, and it sort of made sense. And the basic premise is that we're all free people, or most of us born here are free people, and we're not necessarily subject to the jurisdiction of the United States, and therefore, or not therefore, but also not necessarily citizens of the United States. And this Article 14 sort of speaks to that, where it says all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the U.S. But it sort of acknowledges in that little phrase that there may be people who are born here who are not official citizens and therefore subject to jurisdiction. So I'm just wondering in all your experience, your sort of take on that.
Well, there are a number of different kinds of jurisdiction, and what they're talking about when they and subject to the jurisdiction thereof, meaning under the governing authority. Not everybody is under the governing authority, and we're running right slap into another break here. But that's a good question, and it deserves a good answer. And we'll talk about that as soon as we get back here in just a couple of minutes. Hang on with us, Mitch.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special, and your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com.
Do you have a high electric bill? Do you use an electric company that just provides you expensive electricity? Not anymore. Visit www.energy-swap.com and take advantage of a new way to save on your monthly energy bill. Allow Energy Swap to switch your provider and receive the same reliable service and the best rewards program in the industry. Save up to 20% on your electric bill. Rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. No cost to switch. Flat rate plans. Reward program. What more could you ask for? A free gift. Try Energy Swap and receive a free getaway for two. Sign up today. 888-238-6397. That's 888-238-6397. Visit our website, www.energy-swap.com, and use the tool generator to calculate how much you can save on your monthly energy bill. 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
Welcome back to the Live Free Zone. This is Tom Cryer. We're talking with Mitch in Texas. And if you want to join the discussion, you can. 1-800-313-9443. Mitch, I think your question, and I'll ask you, so I'll be sure, is really more to what is jurisdiction. What do they mean by that?
I think my question is sort of more holistic almost. Does the Constitution and the amendment sort of recognize that we're actually free, sovereign people? I'm a free individual. Or does it recognize that I'm a member of this political jurisdiction called the United States? Like, is the Constitution essentially a document that recognizes that we're 300 million free people and here's a set of rules that, you know, we can all operate by? Or is it a document that says this is the document that says you are citizens of this state and therefore subject to everything, you know, all the rules we set up? It's a subtle point, but it makes me...
Even those who are not citizens can be subject to the jurisdiction of the United States or of the state of Texas. You don't have to be a citizen to be subject to the jurisdiction. But let me expound on one of the things you mentioned regarding free people. Are we 300 free people, 300 million free people that are subject to regulatory authority of a sovereign? Yes. Now, we're free people in that we are guaranteed and we have privileges and immunities and rights, property rights, rights to freedom, and certain inalienable personal rights. They can't be abridged, and there is no jurisdiction to abridge those rights. But where the jurisdiction does reside, and jurisdiction is a funny word because it can mean so many different things. It can refer to a physical geographic area, or it can refer, as in the federal case, you have two different kinds of jurisdiction, as for Congress, and that would be the geographical jurisdiction over D.C. territories and the federal enclaves, what I generally refer to as a federal zone. And then you have the regulatory authority, our jurisdiction, and that jurisdiction coexists in the states and it goes out past the federal zone. For example, they can regulate interstate commerce, whether it was conducted in the federal zone or not. They can regulate the laws concerning the issuance of copyrights or patents. They can govern trade with the territories, trade with the Indians, foreign trade, regardless of where that trade is being conducted from, whether it's in the federal zone or not. So they have those rights to govern, and we are subject to those rights because we're here, because we are, and we have rights because we're citizens. Whether we're citizens or not, we still have to obey the speeding laws, right?
Yes.
Now you do have an exception to that in diplomatic immunity, but just because somebody's from a different country is a citizen of Canada or is a citizen of Mexico doesn't mean that they're not under the jurisdiction, the power to regulate, power to define laws and to govern of the state or of the federal government, depending on what law is being violated. So being a citizen, though, gives us certain rights. It entitles us to certain privileges. We have a right to live here to start with. We have a right to travel freely between the states. And wherever we reside, we enjoy full citizenship status with that state. So that's I know I'm not giving you a good answer, but the other aspect of your comment that I wanted to address is the idea that we are 300 million free, and you almost said it, but you didn't, sovereigns, that the sovereignty resides in the people, but it doesn't reside in the person. That may be a distinction that's lost in a lot of the folks that are advocating the reclaiming of their sovereignty by renouncing the constitutional cession of rights and authority to the United States government.
Let me catch up with you. So you're saying it's a collective sovereignty as opposed to an individual sovereignty?
Absolutely. That's perfect. I wish I had thought to say it that way. We the people are the source of all sovereignty, whether it belongs to the state of Texas, the state of Louisiana, or to the federal government. We the people are the source of even that portion of sovereignty that was ceded over to the federal government by the states. The Constitution was a three-party document. I won't call it a contract, although you could say it's a social contract under philosophical approach. But it had three parties to it, really. It was created not just by the people, but by the states. And whenever you realize that you've got three parties to this agreement, you have the federal government that was created to perform certain specific functions, and it was given authority to perform those certain specific functions, and only those functions, and the states gave up some of their rights. For example, the states would have had the right to govern any kind of trade with other states. Well, they gave that up to the federal government. the states would have had the right to issue patents and copyrights. They gave that up to the federal government. Well, we gave up certain things to the federal government, too. We allowed them to govern us with respect to whether or not we counterfeited money on how we get our patent rights, how we can engage in trade. In other words, with other states and with other countries and with the territories or with the Indian tribes. We gave up those types of rights. Now, what I want to suggest to you, and I'll suggest this to everybody, is there's a website where you can pop these things up, and I use this thing as my pocket constitution, but usconstitution.net. Just one word, usconstitution.net. It's an excellent resource, and it doesn't give you a lot in the way of case law and other research facilities, but as a quick reference to see what the Constitution really says, that's a great little tool. But am I answering your question, Mitchell, or am I missing it?
Yes, and tying this back into the whole tax issue, technically, if there was another amendment that said, yes, we as the states and the people therewith or whatever agree that you can tax our labor, that would have to be another amendment. So essentially your argument or our argument is that nothing currently in the Constitution acknowledges that we've yet given up that right, but that doesn't keep another amendment coming forward in the future that says, yes, we will give up that right to have that portion of our freedom ceded over to the federal government or whatever. It hasn't
right.
happened yet. Okay.
That's right. It hasn't happened. Because what they did was, basically the 16th, the federal government thought when the 16th Amendment was passed, they had hit the mother load. They thought they had a carte blanche, that they could write their own ticket. They could tax any kind of income from whatever source. Now, what they soon found out, though, was that the reference to source did not mean that they could tax income from sources that were beyond their taxing authority before the 16th. That by the reference to source was interpreted by the Supreme Court to mean that they could no longer apply the rule in Pollock or the burden analysis in Pollock, which said that the previous income tax was unconstitutional because it was a direct tax on the property that produced the income, because it was a burden on the ownership of the property. When the 16th Amendment was held to do nothing but preclude categorizing an income tax as a direct tax, then that meant that it wasn't a carte blanche. It didn't add any new subjects of taxation. So while the federal government could tax income derived from the exercise of patent rights, you know, you get a royalty on a patent because you had a patent right granted by the federal government. They had jurisdiction over that to regulate the terms and the conditions for your patent, and they determined whether or not to even create it. So certainly that's within our governing authority, right?
Yes, I thought of that. Yes,
all right.
Definitely.
Well, if it's within their governing authority, they can tax that activity. Any activity that they have the right to govern, they can tax. But any activity they do not have the right to govern, they cannot tax. That's basic McCulloch v. Maryland, that the taxing authority goes only so far as the sovereignty, the regulatory authority. If it doesn't exist because the federal government said so, as in the case of a patent, or if it's not permitted because the government permits it, as in the case of interstate commerce, then it's beyond their taxing authority. And that's still the same. That hasn't changed because of the 16th. And you're right, it would take another amendment. Well, thanks for the call, Mitch. It was a great call. We're going to take a break here, and we'll be back here in a few minutes on the Live Free Zone.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Back up and running here on the Live Free Zone. This is Tom Cryer. We've been talking about sovereignty. We've been talking about the issue of reclaiming one's personal sovereignty. Mitchell in Texas brought that up, and I think it bears some discussion. And Stanley, if you've got a question, you can get it up here, 1-800-313-9443. That I just received an email not long ago from a gentleman asking me, how do I reclaim or reestablish my individual sovereignty? In other words, how do I unplug from the Constitution? The fact is that when we are born in as citizens, we obtain rights, and with those rights become, you know, they're also duties are also responsibilities. You have no rights without responsibilities. I have the right to wave my arms around and expressing myself as long as your nose isn't in the path of that waving. You know, I have a right to express my anger with you as long as it stops at the end of your nose. I'm responsible for what I do and how it affects my neighbor. we are not islands. We are not independent of one another. And that's why we have laws. That's why we have order. That's why we have rules to live by, with different degrees of enforceability. We have social mores that regulate us. We have our own personal values that regulate us. We have the social pressures that are applied. And then we have compulsion, where we say that something is so key to the orderly conduct of society and of our maintaining peace within our communities, that we're going to make it mandatory. We're not just going to disapprove. We're going to actually punish or stop that conduct. Stealing, hitting people, hurting people, murder, robbery, anything that harms somebody. Which is why you're seeing these issues raised about victimless crimes, or whether or not that's a valid subject for a criminal statute. But with respect to sovereignty is, as Mitchell put it, it's collective. It is the people that possess the sovereignty, not the person. The person is a member of that group. And he has his say, his right to say what the people give up. But again, it's up to the people to determine how much of their individual liberty they're going to give up in order to secure order and to secure protection of the other liberties that they are going to retain. Which is why we had the Bill of Rights tacked onto the Constitution. It said many felt like the Constitution did not adequately protect the rights that the people never intended to give to the government any power to regulate or abridge. Many of them thought that was obvious, but others said, "I want it in writing," and thank goodness that they did, because just imagine what the government would be like today if it were not for the addition of the Bill of Rights to the Constitution. What a fantastic writer to put on that policy, because at least, even though they tend to grind down our rights and grind down our freedom just because they want more power, and that has to become, any power to one has to come at the expense of liberty or freedom to another. And the problem that people run into whenever they're saying, "I'm going to reclaim my sovereignty," is that they are wanting to reclaim something that doesn't belong to them. I am not a sovereign, although I do rule my own life and I do govern when and how I will exercise my freedoms. And I do make decisions about myself that I'm entitled to. But that's called freedom, not sovereignty. That's called liberty, not sovereignty. Sovereignty is the right to rule another. And whenever I start to exercise my freedom at your expense, whenever I start exercising freedoms in such a way that they do you harm or cause you to have to do something or another, now I'm exercising, in effect, sovereignty, because I'm affecting your life. And I don't have the right to do that. So that's why we don't have individual sovereignty. We have individual freedoms. We have individual rights. But collectively, we are the source of sovereignty. We are the source of authority to govern, because in our system, governments are created by the people, and they rule by the consent of the governed. Which is why we've got such a problem with the federal government now, is because we're not being ruled by our consent. The two parties, I call it one party, the Republicrats, the two parties are serving, those congressmen and senators are serving their party. They're not serving you and me. They're representing their party. They're not representing you and me. So we're not consenting to laws. They are. And we'll be back here on just a few minutes here on the Live Free Zone.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special, and your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com.
Attention RBN listeners who suffer from excruciating joint pain. If you are interested in suppressed but amazingly effective traditional arthritis remedies, this will be the single most important message you will ever hear. Here's why. Recently, a scientist who specializes in ancient medicine has discovered a 3,000-year-old arthritis remedy that has been proven in studies to not only relieve joint pain and inflammation, but also to rebuild damaged cartilage as well. And the amazing thing is just how fast it works. In fact, relief for me came in less than a week. Now, because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made for this ancient remedy. However, it is still legal to own it, and right now a small amount is available to our listeners. Keep in mind, shipments get filled on a first-come, first-served basis, so it's important that you take immediate action by going to www.321relief.com. And the best part? RBN listeners pay absolutely nothing today. Simply go to 321relief.com. That's www.321relief.com, or call 815-259-4555. For details.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
And the bottom of the second hour, here on the Live Free Zone, this is Tom Cryer. And we are talking about taxes, and we're talking about some other neat stuff this time around. We're getting into some jurisdiction, sovereignty, and all kinds of freedom and regulatory issues. We're even dealing with the border problem, sort of indirectly, although I couldn't give us a solution to that. On the border problem, though, I might mention that it does confuse me, not confuse me, but I guess surprises us. Word, why anybody would want to talk about the need for reforming laws when you haven't tried the ones you have yet. Seems like if we would just enforce the ones we have, and then we could decide whether they're working or not. But you can join me here on the program. We are wide open to your questions and your comments, and I enjoy fielding them. But 1-800-313-9443. Let's talk a little bit about, for those who are coming in on the second hour, some of the news developments for this week. First off, of course, was the commissioning, I guess, of the PRA as a frivolous tax argument. It's been taken off of the list of IRS's frivolous tax arguments. Never on the list were those particular arguments, the three messages that truthattack.org advances. Now we've got a fourth that's been taken off, three that were never on there, and another now that has suddenly disappeared without explanation or comment following that ruling in the Tenth Circuit in the Chisholm case that we had Lindsey Springer on a while back to talk about. The other developments are the fact that a new radio program sponsored by Truth Attack, the Tom Cryer Show, will be airing, beginning in the San Bernardino Valley on KCAA 1050, the 7th of December. Torah, Torah, Torah for the IRS. And will be rebroadcast the following morning on Saturday through KTAE out of Katy, Texas. And we believe that that time is going to be, that launch time will be at 9 in California on December 7th. That Friday evening, it'll be at 7 p.m. If you're in that area, tune in and bring as many friends as you can. You know, we'll try to make it fun. We've got some a lot of material, and we've got a lot of people out there that need to know the truth. And your discussions, just like the discussions right here, are good ways of ironing out the wrinkles that I don't see, because I've got everything ironed out in my mind over the year, many years of research on this. But if I know where you're digging up and looking for answers, I can maybe shortcut that process for you and show you where the answers are. But let's go back to the phones. We got Dave in Arkansas. How you doing, Dave?
Oh, real fine, Tom. It's good to hear you, sir, notwithstanding the football game yesterday. I won't go into that.
Well, thank you.
Right.
I knew when I saw Arkansas, I was fixing to catch it.
Uh-oh.
You know, it has been a great, great college football season. I mean, I know this is off topic, but doggone it.
Yeah.
Any team could beat just about any other team. And you take a powerhouse, I mean, there is no bull of the woods. They're all good.
Boy, that SEC is something else.
And I'll tell you, and LSU has got a monster team. There's no doubt about it. But, I mean, it hasn't had a cakewalk. I mean, it hasn't just walked over anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've had some squeakers. And then, and so was this game with Arkansas. Man, what a game. I didn't see it, but I sure heard about it.
Oh, boy, howdy.
But boy, what a great season for watching college ball. I mean, so many overtime, so many, you know, these guys have, you know, we may have parity or something, but it just seems like every game is a close game, a real squeaker.
Yeah.
It comes down to the last few plays.
No kidding.
But then, let's drop football.
Yeah. Let's talk about who has rights.
All right. Do you?
Are you familiar with the case of United States v. Johnson?
No, I'm not. I can't say I am.
76
I
F. It's 76 F.
All right.
538, 1947 case, Middle District, District Court in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that's a district court ruling now, so it's not law.
But listen to what this judge told this gentleman, who had eloquently expounded on the Constitution. The judge told him this, Tom. Quote, the privilege against self-incrimination is neither accorded to the passive resistant nor the person who is ignorant of his rights, nor to one indifferent thereto. It is a fighting clause. Its benefits can be retained only by sustained combat. It cannot be retained by attorney or solicitor. It is valid only when insisted upon by a belligerent claimant in person. The one who is persuaded by honeyed words or moral suasion to testify or produce documents rather than make a last-ditch stand simply loses the protection. Once he testifies to part, he has waived his right and must, on cross-examination or otherwise, testify as to the whole transaction. He must refuse to answer or produce and test the matter, catch this, in contempt proceedings or by habeas corpus. Wow.
Well, it's quite a statement, but you know what? It's true as to all rights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a right is only a right insofar as you assert it. I can walk all over your rights if you do nothing. You can walk all over mine if I do nothing, and the government can do the same if we do nothing.
Right on.
But every right we have to demand. We have, you know, your comment and this particular quote that you just brought us reminds me of Benjamin Rush mm-hmm. in 1781, and you may have heard me quote this gentleman before. Benjamin Rush was one of the founding fathers. And after Cornwallis cowardly had one of his subordinates surrender on his behalf at Yorktown, Rush commented that the war for American independence is over, but the American Revolution is only beginning. And what I take from that is not just the task that these people then had to figure out what to do with this newfound freedom and how to form their own government, but and how to make their way in the world without Mother England, mm-hmm. but also go ahead, but also what we're going to do to protect and preserve what we fought for, and that means that every generation to me has to fight this revolution. Mm-hmm. We have to pay the price for liberty so that we can earn that legacy and pass it on to our descendants.
Right. The Supreme Court also spoke to this matter back in 1906 in the case of Hale v. Hinkle.
Well, it's a new one on me. By name, anyway. I might know what you're talking about, but not by name.
201 U.S. 43.
I've got it.
The individual may stand upon his constitutional rights as a citizen. He is entitled to carry on his private business in his own way. His power to contract is unlimited. His rights are such as existed by the law of the land long antecedent to the organization of the state and can only be taken from him by due process of law and in accordance with the Constitution. And that leads me right to one of the Bill of Rights that's the most ignored and misunderstood, and that's the Ninth Amendment, Tom.
Absolutely. The Ninth Amendment and the Tenth have been totally ignored out of existence. The Ninth makes it very, very clear that the rights enumerated in the Bill of Rights are not exclusive, that there are other rights that we retain.
The non-enumerated rights are the natural rights.
Exactly. And they flow out of the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And you just referred to one of them, the right to freely contract and transact one's own business as he chooses.
Yeah.
And under that is also the right we talked about a little while ago, or I mentioned, as part of the truth attacks message, is that we have a right to earn a living. That's just like our freedom of speech, just like our freedom of religion. That we have that right, and that's one of the non-enumerated rights that was alluded to in the Hinkle case you just cited, and that was then further developed in Butcher's Union and Yick Woe,
right,
and Allgaier and others, you know, like Coppage mm-hmm. v. Kansas and Meyer v. Nebraska. Those rights flowed from the very language that you just cited, not from the Constitution, because they're part of the right to pursue happiness. Because if you're not free to do those things, then you're not free to pursue happiness in your life.
Well, these rights flow right straight out of the founding document of this nation, and that's the Declaration of Independence.
Absolutely.
You bet.
Absolutely.
But that Ninth nevertheless enjoys the equal exaltation with the 1st, 2nd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 10th Amendments as the supreme law of the land since December 15th, 1791. Three unenumerated, self-evident natural rights of the people include, but not limited to, are the right to labor in the private sector with the full enjoyment of the fruits derived therefrom, the right of defense of person and property, and the right to travel. They're all protected by the Ninth Amendment.
Are you reading that from Hankel?
No, I wrote that.
Oh, you wrote that.
I'm writing a paper.
Oh, okay. Well, you're bouncing it around, huh?
Yeah.
Testing it on us?
A little bit.
We're guinea pigs today. Well, that's some excellent writing. I'm impressed. As a matter of fact, you had me convinced that I was listening to a turn-of-the-century Supreme Court decision, because that's the way they would have written back then, whenever the Constitution was still the basic instrument behind the government, and
right.
It was still alive and well. Mm-hmm. And wasn't considered some dusty instrument.
Right,
but you're touching on natural rights also is of course, that's a subject close to my heart, because I think that's what is really under attack right now,
mm-hmm.
is the idea that we have natural rights that we don't owe the government for.
Right.
All right.
You betcha.
Well, you know, but that's my piece of work. But I'm going to go back and look at Hankel. I liked what you had, the excerpt that you had. I'm going to go back and look at that. And for those of you who also want to look at it, I'll repeat the citation. It's 201 U.S. 43. I also want to point out while we're at that, don't just listen to what I say. Read what I write, or even what Dave writes or says. Always, always go to primary sources. When I run a title, a lot of guys will run a title back to the first big mortgage. I don't. I go all the way back. I make sure. I don't want to rely on anybody's eyes or anybody's mind but mine. And you should do the same.
Absolutely. It's important for everybody to make the truth their own.
That's right. And to find it on their own. My memorandum that's available for free download at truthattack.org and also at livefreezone.com. Is I think, and I don't think I'm boasting when I say it's a pretty comprehensive piece of work, and I think it's easy to understand. But I still tell people, when you get that memorandum, pull up the cases and read the actual cases. Satisfy yourself that that memorandum is interpreting that case right or applying it right. That's why whenever we issued out the Notorious Notebook as a gift for donations to truthattack.org, we also include on that CD the full text of all of the cases that show up in that notebook, so that people can look at the cases and go back and look at the whole decision and see how that excerpt that I was using fit in. And make sure for themselves and understand better for themselves.
Well, God bless
you, David,
Tom, for your great work.
Well, thank you, and a great call. And I'm going to look up some of this material you gave me, and I thank you for it.
You betcha.
And well, let's move on and talk to John in Tennessee. How are you doing, John?
I'm doing well. How are you, Tom?
I'm doing just great.
Well,
it's a rainy, miserable, dreary day, and I'm inside, and so... since I'm having to do this inside, that's a good thing to be doing.
All right. Well, this may be out of your area of expertise, but since you said you've written some titles or searched some titles, maybe not. It's a little bit off of the tax topic, but I noticed last week where China had purchased a large bank in New York City, and I wanted to run something by you. Since most of the mortgages that are made today in the last 5 or 10 years have been packaged by the banks and sold to China as a paper holding, and we have so many defaults coming now. Do you see the possibility in the future of China actually selling these homes through their New York bank to people that are able to buy them from other parts of maybe other continents, since Americans are losing them?
Well, Americans are losing them, but it's also Americans who would be in the market for them. what China would do, I'll tell you what that does indicate to me. What that indicates to me is that China is emerging as an economic force in the world. They have positioned themselves very, very well. One of the things that we have seen with the decline of manufacturing in this country has been in part due to the punishment of productivity. Another has to do with the fact that people are no longer free to innovate. The governing and regulating of industry has gotten to be so oppressive here that we're no longer free to compete in the world. And China has taken advantage of that, but they've also done it banking-wise. As you pointed out, I'm assuming I didn't see that report, but let's just assume that it's correct that China has purchased a large bank in New York. That doesn't surprise me a bit. China is using the silver market in order to regulate the value of currency. And it's in a position to really take the United States down economically.
Well, if we understand that our economy is not coincidental, that it's orchestrated, the fluctuations in the whatnot are actually...
You got 5 seconds.
Now, if we believe that's the case, then is it not also we can come to the conclusion that China's position has also been orchestrated?
Well, now we've run into the break.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
About to wrap it up here, and just a few more minutes left to the show. We want to cram in the final points that John had from Tennessee. John, I think you were about to suggest that perhaps China's position was orchestrated by the same powers that have taken down and disadvantaged this country. Was that your point?
Well, Tommy, my point is basically that we have eliminated any of the necessary infrastructure in this country to produce much more than automobiles, and now that's going away. You know, we've shipped things overseas to China, and it's to the point now where I believe that we've mortgaged this country to the point where China not only owns the homes on the paper, they own the land. And people aren't realizing it.
The fact is that China, I don't think that there is a, I don't know of any evidence of a conspiracy, although some people could make that argument. But I think that the natural progression of the grab of additional power and the obsession, the manic obsession of the federal government obtaining more and more and more control has shackled the American worker and has shackled the American ingenuity that made it a leap to the fore of the world. We became the world leader purely because we were free to excel. And I think that if that freedom is restored, we can once again excel. And I'll put that up against any country, China included, in the world. But whenever we are handcuffed and we're having to stand on one foot and we're being handicapped by an overly oppressive millstone of a federal government, that's not a fair fight. China is bright and brilliant enough. These people are not stupid by any stretch. And, they are formidable, competitors. But we are too, once we're freed back up. And so that's why we're starting.
It would take so much to bring the infrastructure back, Tommy. These companies have moved their equipment and people out.
There's nothing beyond us. There's nothing beyond us, and we have the resources. We are the wealthiest nation in the world when it comes to natural resources. We have it all. And, I wouldn't sell United States or America short in a world competition, if it was free to compete. But it isn't. It's shackled. It's weighted down. It's disadvantaged. And, I see China as a formidable competitor. There's no two ways about it. They're very, very cunning. They know the ropes. They know economics. And they know world monetary. And that's another thing we've got to do. We've got to get real money back in this country. If the dollar were real, if it stood for 371 grains of silver again, then the United States dollar would be impenetrable by any economy in the world, including China's.
All right. I appreciate you taking my call.
I appreciate the call. It's a good point. It's a good question. And something that should be food for thought for all of us, because we ought to realize we are in a world economic war, and we cannot continue to handicap ourselves. We cannot continue to play with monopoly money whenever – what we need is a good, solid basis for value, and we need the freedom to improvise, the freedom to do things better again, the freedom to invoke American ingenuity and American industry. And by industry, I don't mean big companies. I mean industry like the willingness to bend our backs and get the job done, to turn our hands to the task. I'll put us up against anybody and never look back and never, ever worry about a dollar, I bet, on America in a free and open economic battle.
With 3